Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
And we're back. 1 hour down. 4 hours to go. The Keith McPherson Show, AM to AM on The Fan in New York. Okay, I mean, I started off trying to tell the Jets fans there should be optimism. There's some trouble in paradise. Not so great news coming out of 49ers camp. And I really do think after losing another Super Bowl, it's tough. Like, do they really think Brock Purdy is the guy? Other guys want to get paid before they end up paying Brock Purdy? Christian McCaffrey used to always be injury prone. He somehow healed up with the Niners, but right now he's got a calf strain. Trent Williams isn't around, and Brandon Ayuk does not want to be the fourth option on offense anymore. 888-808-1019. That's one game. It's the first game of the season. My gamblers know, week one, anything goes. Bet anyone and anything. Anytime touchdowns, anybody against the spread, because nobody knows. Vegas has no clue week one. Nobody knows because it's preseason. These guys don't play. Daniel Jones should not play in the preseason. Why risk it? Isn't there an injury clause in that contract? Why even have him go out there coming off an ACL? Aaron Rodgers should not play in the preseason. For what? What gain? Is there? There's so much to potentially lose. You could lose this guy again, and you can't have that happen back-to-back years. But that's the difference, Jets fans. You only saw Aaron Rodgers for four plays. Can we not forget that? Can we not forget that, like, oh, it's the typical Jets. Oh, my life's been a living. If Aaron Rodgers is 70% of the quarterback he was when he won MVPs in the two COVID seasons, that's better than any quarterback you've had in years. Like, that's better than, I'm trying to think, oh, Chad Pennington, we have to go back to Chad Pennington, Mark Sanchez. I think 70% of Aaron Rodgers is definitely better than Mark Sanchez. So one game, man, you lose Aaron Rodgers in week one, you won the game, hello? And so winning that one game last year, I turn on the Fan, and all the Jets fans were going through the seven stages of grief. At first, that one win made you think, we're still going to the playoffs. It's not over. Zach Wilson can get it done. Stop walking around work like a loser. So you mean to tell me now you have a healthy Aaron Rodgers? You mean to tell me that you have guys that you added in the offseason to make this offensive line better? Guys that you drafted to help the offense as well? A second year where Nathaniel Hackett better get his act together and act like Breece Hall is a horse with this young kid Braylon Allen behind him as well. And the defense you don't got to worry about. All I hear is they're a Super Bowl caliber defense. They're one of the best defenses in the league at every level. At every level. Defensive line, linebackers, secondary. So with that being said, if there's trouble in paradise, if Trent Williams is holding out, if Brandon Ayuk is forcing a trade, if Christian McCaffrey isn't ready to go where they're signing Matt Breida, I guess Elijah Mitchell will be the guy, but that shouldn't scare the Jets defense. Rob Saleh versus his old team. Breece Hall versus his old college teammate. Aaron Rodgers versus his childhood team that didn't pick him in the draft. Anything can happen week one. They beat the Niners, and the rest of that schedule to go 5-0, It's legit. It's there. You can't tell me that, oh, well, it's the Jets. No, this is the NFL. The NFL. If they beat the 49ers, why can't they start 5-0? Alex is in Lakewood. What's up, Alex? You're on the Fan.
Hi, Keith. You're the best.
Thanks.
Number one.
Thanks.
And the Jets, they're very good. Even if the Jets, one thing that killed them always is that they always throw way too much interceptions. The one thing Aaron Rodgers does the best is throw no interceptions. And I could count at least three games last year where the Jets lost because of interceptions.
Turning the ball over. That's an easy way to lose, given the team that you're playing against extra opportunities. Of course, go on.
So if And if Aaron Rodgers plays a little bit better, the Jets could easily be a 12-win team. It's not hard.
It's Aaron Rodgers, Alex. This guy knows football better than everybody on the field. There's no defense he hasn't seen. There's no blitz that they can send at him. There's no coverage that they can throw at him that's going to throw him off his game. If he is healthy at 40 years old, he's going to get the ball into the hands of the playmakers. He's going to hand the ball off to Breece Hall. He's going to run that offense like an offensive coordinator on the field.
And hopefully Mike Williams and what's the guy, Tyron Smith, could stay healthy.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they're not practicing yet, but it'd be great if they're ready for week one. But even if they're not, Olufashinu, that's the first pick for a reason. That young man's going to be ready to go. He's going to play if need be. And then also, Alan Lazard, I think he's going to be a lot better this year when he's not trying to play with Zach Wilson or Timmy Boyle or Trevor Siemian. You know, he came here to play with Aaron Rodgers, and Garrett Wilson is going to be better. You know, you have guys. You have Xavier Gibson, who's explosive. I think that Tyler Conklin and Jeremy Rucker, your tight ends, are going to be effective with Aaron Rodgers. We've seen Aaron Rodgers get the ball to anybody playing tight end.
And could I get one quick basketball point then?
Yeah, I haven't gotten to the Jalen Brunson captain stuff yet. Go on.
Everybody's saying the Knicks are good. They could beat the Celtics. Everybody's sleeping on the Bucks. They're very good as well.
Alex, me and you are on the same page, bro. I said that to these Knicks fans. I put together a you know, top 10 contenders list, and I had the Knicks underneath the Bucks, and all these Knicks fans are saying, did you not watch the games last year? I'm like, bro, last year is last year. And you guys think Giannis isn't coming back with a vengeance? You think Dame and Giannis in year two aren't coming back? They're like, oh, they didn't sign anybody. All right, wait for it. Wait for it. The East is not as wide open. I don't think the Knicks will be the number two seed coming up this year.
And look at the numbers. Any two major stars duo, the second year is always way better than the first.
Alex, you smart, man. How old are you?
I'm 12.
Yeah, you guys are a lot smarter than I was at 12.
I was always a football, baseball guy, and then my brother was showing me Giannis, and I just decided to become a Giannis fan.
Of course.
I'm go for any team, but I'm a Giannis fan.
You see the Greek freak, nobody looks like him on the court, and they don't officiate the game correctly when he has the ball. He can do whatever he wants. He was hurt last year.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Keith. You're the best.
Thanks for the call, Alex. 888-808-1019. Who's the future of the fan? 12-year-old kids call the show? Think about it, bro. Come on. Tyler's out in Bridgeport, Connecticut. Tyler, you got it next.
Hey, Keith. How you doing, buddy?
Fantastic. WFAN. You see the play on words? This is the fan. I'm doing fantastic.
I love that. Hey, so about a half hour ago, one of the older heads that was a Jets fan called and said, you got to go into the season pessimistic as far as the Jets go.
Never. Not any team.
Exactly. I cannot agree with that because I grew up, you know, watching the Jets. My mother was a Packers fan. And now that I'm seeing Aaron Rodgers as the quarterback for the Jets, I'm fully optimistic about this season. And I feel like this first game with the 49ers, Rodgers is just going to crush CMC. I think we're going to take it. I agree with you with the whole 5-0 take. I think we're going
to
do
it. It's right there. It is right there for them to start 5-0. If Aaron Rodgers is healthy, you have a better roster than all of the teams that you play after the Niners. And anything can happen in week one. It's preseason. You can catch them sleeping. I don't know. I'm not ready to say, well, it's the same old Jets. No, you go get Aaron Rodgers because this is supposed to be way different.
Right, and who knows how he's going to come back after his injury. I feel like, if anything, he's going to be like how he was in his prime, just like in the Packers.
He is the number one guy with a chip on his shoulder trying to prove everyone wrong. He has been going hard in camp. He has been raising everyone's level of play and practice because his expectations are to go out there and win.
As it should be. I like I said, man, I'm so optimistic about this season with the Jets, and I can't wait to see what happens. It's going to be history in the making.
There it is. There's the optimism I was looking for. Everybody is 0-0. This is the time for optimism. If the Giants fans can be optimistic after losing Saquon Barkley, who was really their whole offense for years. Why can't the Jets fans be optimistic getting one of the best quarterbacks we've ever seen into the huddle, under center, on the field? Let's take another call before we bring in my guy, Twan. Stu, in Point Pleasant Beach, down the shore.
Yo, Keith, my dude, how are you, sir?
I'm good, holding it down, you know, blessed to get a rain out and an opportunity to do my thing a little bit earlier tonight.
Well, no, that was great, man, especially with Guerrero. You know, you do a great job, man, and, you know, it's amazing, you know. Missing Sterling a little bit. It is high. It is far. It is quarter. You know, miss him, man. You know, I know you do.
Yeah, good though, shout right? out to John. I always miss John. I love John. I got no bad things to say about John. I remember being in the car when John Carlos Stanton hit that to the warning track. Almost drove off the road.
Bro, I'm telling you, he's the best, man. So, you know, hey, listen, man, Keith, how about that lineup, bro, lately, though? I mean, the Yankees lineup, man, you think about it, right? I was watching that rain out, but I was at some guy's house. We were having a party down the shore for a graduation for Mom's college, you know, and we were at this party. It was so hot that Sunday. So the lady was like, you want to go in the air conditioning? I said, you know, I knew the game was on. I said, see you later. I left everybody. And that lineup is, it could be deadly, you know. And I forgot who the other morning were talking about it on the fan. They were like, let me ask you a question. Who's better than the Yankees right now? Who's better? And you know what? I believe, I think it was somebody who does football talking about the Yankees, which is odd, you know, anyway. But
I don't know. I'm usually asleep in the morning time, but.
Right. But no. There was somebody in the morning that was saying, who's better than the Yankees? And I think the Yankees are going to go on a magical run right now, Keith. I mean, I know you know.
I would love it. I would love it. I would love it because I don't feel that way, but I know it can happen. And, yeah, when you think about the Yankees having a lineup, you know, like when Dominguez gets here, when you think about the lineup having Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, Jason Dominguez, Jazz Chisholm, Anthony Volpe, Alex Verdugo, there's, like, this could be one of the better lineups they've had in years.
Yes, you're 100% right, man. So, anyway, you know, I'm optimistic Yankees. Anyway, you know, everybody was negative about it, man, for a while. Like, oh, my God, they're not even going to, you know, get the wild. Really? Seriously?
Yeah, right, no, that's so just. The takes got to evaporate. People, that's why I said people got to chill. The Yankees are dead. This team sucks. It's 2022 all over again. Well, 2022, they got to the ALCS. They won the division. I don't think it's that. Mm-hmm. I think they have every opportunity to win the division, get that first round bye. And then when I look at this lineup, I'm worried about the pitching now. But honestly, the pitching will come through in October like it usually does. Guys got to hit.
Yeah, man, 100%. I'll be there Sunday. I'll be in the bleachers over there in 203, you know.
Hold it down. I'm on air Sunday. I don't think I'm going to make the game. I'll be on air after the game, though.
All right, that's awesome. Hey, listen, little bit Giants. So I'm a season ticket holder, right? Bro, the Jets don't have better tailgates, bro. I can bring you to a tailgate and blow your mind. We can go with, you know, a couple celebrities or plaques and everybody, and you would have a blast. So, you know, the Giants got the best tailgaters out there, man.
I've been to a few. You know, usually the Cowboys would play late in the year where it'd be freezing. I used to hate those because you're cold all day. You go home, take a shower, get into bed, you're still cold. But then for a couple years, they had the Dallas game in the beginning of the season where the weather is perfect. So, I don't know.
Yeah, man, you got to get to one. Like, you know, the plate guy, he'll come over to the tailgate.
I know license plate guy. My boy Jay Schmies cooks out there. I know a bunch of people out there. But I do think that the Jets have a great one. Thanks for the call, Stu.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Oh, hitting at 239 with 8 home runs and 30 runs batted in. Well hit fly ball deep to right field. Forget it, it's going to go. There it goes. Home run.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Right back at it on The Fan in New York. Joining us right now, my guy, he's the Jets beat writer and columnist for the Daily News, the New York Daily News. This is Antoine Staley. I've had him on before. Welcome back, Twan.
Hey, what's up, Keith? How you doing?
Good, good, man. Before we get into the Jets stuff, you know, I was scrolling through your Twitter, and I got to check you on this, bro. What do you mean you were never a fan of the Jordan 11 Lowe's?
No, I don't like the Lowe's, man. I'm a sneakerhead. I love shoes. Like, I think anybody on the Jets beat will tell you, like, I pretty much have worn different shoes every single day of training camp. But, yeah, I just don't like the Lowe's, man. I love the 11s. I just don't like the Lowe's.
The 11s are some of the cleanest, best J's, period. Correct. But the Correct. Lowe's are fire in the summer. I've got 4 pair of Lowe's right now in my closet.
Yeah, I just ain't feeling them, man. I have the pair that you were speaking on that
I can't think of the Atlanta Falcons coach.
Raheem Morris.
Yeah, Raheem Morris was wearing. I have those exact same ones I wear to Devils games. I have the navy blue ones I wear to Yankee games. I've got the gray ones. I have the Concord. Like, those are one of my favorite, like, summer shoes, the 11 Lowe's, Jordan 11 Lowe's.
Yeah, I just like to have support on my ankle. I don't know. Maybe it's an old head thing. I don't know.
you don't want to have a sprained ankle. I got you. Well,
yeah, yeah.
We don't want you to come up on the injury report. There's some guys in Jets camp on the injury report. I was just talking to a young man that was like, you know, I hope Mike Williams is ready to go. I hope Tyron Smith is ready to go. Who else hasn't really been getting active so far? Who else have you seen kind of just to the side right now that you think is going to be a vital part of this Jets team?
Well, Xavier Gibson ended up returning today. Who he's been out with a lower extremity injury, so that was a big thing. But having him back, Malik Taylor, another wide receiver as well. I know Alan Lazard missed a day of practice. The receiving core has really been, you know, going, you know, had a lot of injuries, to be quite honest with you. And then you add on Mike Williams, who is kind of on that brief fall plan that was last year, that happened last year, where, you know, Breece tore his ACL in 2022. They kind of just, you know, eased him in into training camp and had him, like, a bit of a pitch count, you know, from the regular season debut. And I imagine that's kind of be the same thing with Mike Williams. But, you know, Tyron Smith, I mean, he's healthy, but if according to, you know, Robert Saleh and just the Jets in general, but they just want to keep him on a maintenance plan where they want him healthy for as many games as possible. If you remember correctly, Dallas kind of did something similar last year. If you're a Cowboys fan, you know. I know it well. Tell you, but
I tried to tell Jets fans he never practices.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, he's older too, so you don't. It's not a big deal if he doesn't practice, but they just want him available for games. And we're talking about a guy that has not played the entire season since 2015. So,
right.
And I think the Jets at least know what they're doing in that regard.
Yeah, it's smart to just, like, not put him in harm's way because he's one false step from a lower body injury. You got to keep him under wraps. No disrespect to the legend. He's a Hall of Famer. I mean, if he's ready for game day, he's going to, you know, give you a solid left tackle. But there's no point in using him in practice for reps. There's nothing to gain with a guy like that. He knows every protection. He'll be ready to go. You know, I just was kind of talking about Aaron Rodgers like that. Like, I'm like, there's no reason to play this man in the preseason. I know we got a little bit of that in the Jets-Giants game last year, which was cool. He survived that. But no, they cannot have a repeat of last year where this guy gets hurt and misses time. They have to get him to the starting line, which is week one. What do you think about Aaron Rodgers? He's definitely not playing in the preseason at all.
No, not at all. I mean, so much on the line this year for not just, you know, Aaron, but everybody involved. You talk about Robert Saleh, you talk about general manager Joe Douglas and other people on the team as well. I mean, this is it. I mean, last year they got a mulligan because Aaron got hurt. But they're not going to get that same, you know, latitude this year. I mean, that's why you go out and get a Tyrod Taylor just in case something were to happen to Aaron Rodgers. That's why you go out and get Old Fashioned from Penn State just in case something were to happen to Tyron Smith too as well. So yeah, you have to have the foresight to know just in case something were to happen, you need to have a plan B. And last year they did not have a plan B. But I think Aaron has looked, you know, really solid in camp. I mean, we're not going to necessarily know until the live bullets go in San Francisco and on September 9th. But, you know, I think all accounts, I'm not necessarily worried about him. I have some other questions on the team that I'm concerned about. But Aaron is probably the least of them, at least, you know, his play, that is.
Here's a couple questions about veterans that were in camp and then out of camp. One, Tariq Cohen retired, and I thought he was a weapon. I thought he was a guy that potentially could help in a couple ways, just given And, you know, Aaron Rodgers, another guy, maybe out of the backfield, and with the new kickoff rules, maybe being an explosive kickoff returner. And then also, I read something that Jarvis Landry came through.
Yes.
So did you see Jarvis Landry at all? Speaking of, you know, the wide receiver room being banged up, a Jarvis Landry might make some sense.
Yeah, I did not see Jarvis, but I did know he tried out for the team, which is crazy because I actually covered Jarvis when he was in Miami, so for many, many years. But so I was just kind of interested in that regard. But as far as Tyreek Cohen, they were surprised in that locker room and also in the organization because they felt like he had a really good opportunity to make the 53-man roster as a returner, as a backup running back as well. And they thought he probably would have been the fourth running back on the roster. But, you know, he said he was healthy. He said he was ready to go. And then 2 days later, he ended up retiring, which surprised everybody. But now, you know, now you got to go back a little bit to the drawing board, although you got Xavier Gibson. But now you're trying to figure out, especially with the new return rules, who else you're going to have back there. But, yeah, I think the Jets have brought in a lot of receivers there. I imagine they'll continue to do that as long as for the next few weeks throughout the course of training camp.
Yeah, they got to hit up Corey Davis. Corey Davis retired on him last year. He needs to come back. He needs to try and play again.
Yeah, the only thing about Corey is, like, he's a similar type of skill set as Alan Lazar, who they already have on the roster. So I don't know if that necessarily makes a lot of sense, especially when you also have Mike Williams is there. If you're going to go out and get a receiver, you want somebody that's a speed threat, that's somebody that can, you know, stress the defenses. Where Corey Davis, again, like Alan Lazar, Mike Williams, those are kind of like possession guys that you, again, two of them you already have on your roster.
Yeah, I'm half joking with that. I mean, Jarvis Landry's not going to be much of a speed guy.
Nah.
What about Malachi Corley? How is he look?
Yeah, I like. He's made some plays. Like, he's flashed it. I mean, obviously, whenever you come in as a receiver, as a rookie, like, it's going to be some growing pains there. And I think we kind of saw that a little bit earlier. But also, like, you've seen some flash plays, too. You saw somebody that can, you know, Aaron Rodgers is gaining more and more confidence in. Also, Tyrod Taylor, too, and also making some flashes down the field. With contested balls, too. I mean, they called him the Yak King for a reason at Western Kentucky. He's somebody that can not only catch the ball fluidly, but also gain some big yards after the catch. And I definitely think he could be a big weapon in the Jets offense, especially when, you know, Mike Williams may not be 100% ready to go for week one. And, you know, they're going to have to rely more on Corley. They're going to have to rely more on Alan Lazar. And it's also going to put some more on the plate for Breece Hall and also Garrett Wilson, too, as well.
Yeah, so all this talk about Malik Nabers and the Giants and the fights that they've had in training camp with the Lions, well, the Jets were getting after each other, too. Did you catch some of that? Did you see how that started up?
Yes.
So, go ahead and tell us about the fight club that exists in Florham Park.
So, basically, it all started today. Like, today, you know, Joe Tippin got into it with one of the backup linebackers, and then the whole team just gained up on everybody on the outs on the sideline, and Joe Tippin's helmet came off on as well, and he ended up having to get checked out on the sideline by a trainer. So that's what started everything, and then the second fight, probably, you know, about 5 minutes after that, was after an incomplete pass from Garrett to Garrett Wilson. Garrett Wilson and DJ Reed started pushing and shoving each other. So, and then everybody started, you know, getting in that melee, and then probably about 10 minutes later after that, it was a third fight, too. I couldn't really see who was it because it was a big scrum. But then at that point, Robert Saleh just got everybody together and just said, you know, enough, basically. Like, yeah, you're trying to be healthy. And then, I mean, not for nothing, you have a joint practice with the Commanders in a couple of days. So,
yeah.
I mean, it makes no sense to be fighting with each other when you got another team coming into your building. That's the team you need to be, you know, more concerned about, especially considering these joint practices are key now, especially with the, you know, preseason game. A lot of players don't play in the preseason anymore. So now they use the joint practices to really, you know, as a tune-up for the regular season.
Yeah, to get good reps. They just got to get to these practices, and then Saturday they get to face the Commanders in the preseason. It gets chippy, man. It's just like, it's so hot out there. I remember, you know, in college, it's like people are pissed off. They'd rather be elsewhere. They'd rather be doing some other things. You're hot, you're sweating, you're doing these reps over and over and over again, and you don't have time for somebody being extra, especially after the whistle, don't touch me.
And also, you're tired of seeing these same faces like for the last 2 weeks. That's basically what it is. Like, you want to hit somebody else. You want to see somebody. You want to see a different scheme. Like, you're just tired of doing the same thing all over again. So that's why I think also another
another reason why these joint practices come into play. I think they're really good for all these things because you get a different phase, and you also get you're going up against a different scheme and coaching staff too as well. You got the game plan for it, and you know prepare on the fly. So I definitely think it's really good to get these joint practices in. The Jets have three of them: one against the Commanders, one against the Panthers in Charlotte next week, and then against the Giants on the 21st.
We're on the phone right now with Antoine V. Staley, who covers your Jets for the New York Daily News. Twan, tell me somebody from the defensive side of the ball that's like really standing out. I know Quinnen Williams last year in Hard Knocks was talking about he had 10 sacks in one day. You expect that from him, but you know, Sauce Gardner is supposed to be a lockdown corner, elite, the best corner in football. Quincy Williams, obviously. Like, well, tell me somebody that you've seen who's really making plays and standing out from this vaunted Jets defense.
I could name a few. I think Devon Kinlaw is somebody, a free agent who they brought in and signed a 1-year deal. I definitely think he's somebody that's made some plays, who he had recorded a sack. You know, not as, I mean, he didn't take down Aaron Rodgers, but it would have been a sack today. I mean, he gained a healthy 30 pounds throughout the offseason, which I actually asked him, like, how did you do that? And basically he just said he ate like 6 chicken breasts and a lot of eggs and his girlfriend, actually. A lot of protein, some noodles, and things like that, too. But, yeah, it's all good weight, and he's been flying around, too. So he's somebody I look at as definitely been, you know, active throughout the course of training camp. Jamie Sherwood, linebacker, somebody, a converted safety. I definitely think he's been really good. He recorded an interception on Aaron Rodgers the other day. You talk about Quantez Stickers, their rookie who played in the CFL last year. He's definitely somebody that's also shined too. And Chuck Clark. Chuck Clark, I think, is going to be a really hard hitter for the Jets. You hadn't been able to demonstrate that throughout the course of training camp, but he's made some plays too, and he's also intercepted Aaron Rodgers. But, yeah, those are the four players that I definitely think have really stood out outside of the usual suspects on the Jets defense.
Yeah, I feel like with all of the talk around Hassan Reddick and his holdout, people are kind of forgetting that Javon Kinlaw is on this team. I actually forgot as I was talking about week one, you know, with them facing the Niners, he's a former Niner. There's just a lot of different things that I'm seeing where I'm like, why can't they beat the 49ers? And if they do beat the 49ers week one, they could start off 5-0. I'm looking at Christian McCaffrey's calf strain. I'm looking at Brandon Ayuk clearly wanting out. I'm looking at, you know, Brock Purdy's got something to prove. He's trying to get paid. I'm looking at, you know, Trent Williams holding out. And, yeah, maybe Javon Kinlaw wreaks havoc on them. And Rob Saleh should have some type of intel about his former team. Do you think that they can beat the 49ers week one? I do. It's preseason. It's basically preseason for everyone.
Yeah, sure. I mean, anytime you have a defense like the Jets that's played as well as they have the last couple of years, you're gonna have a shot to win any game. It's just a matter of, like, how fast can their offense come together? And, you know, can they make enough plays to beat a team like the 49ers? I mean, sure, yeah, Christian McCaffrey, you know, not there. Or Brandon Ayuk's probably going to be traded. But, you know, Kyle Shanahan's a mad scientist. So, you know, he's going to have some tricks up his sleeve. And obviously Robert knows some of his tendencies. But, you know, I'm sure Shanahan's going to have some new things up his sleeve to kind of, you know, get the Jets off their game a little bit and something that they don't expect. But, yeah, I definitely think they can win that game. I don't know if they will. Even if they lose that game, if you start out 4-1, I definitely think that's an incredible start, too. And considering the back half of their schedule, they need to get off to a good start because they play a lot of tough teams later on in the season. I think they have 7 straight games to end the year against teams that finished over .500. And then that's key. Like, you got to get off to that early start. Otherwise, you could be, you know, one of those teams that's going to be struggling just to get into the playoffs at the end.
Yeah, and it's about ending the drought. It's about getting to the playoffs. It's not Super Bowl or bust. It's about, hey, this is the longest existing playoff drought in professional sports.
Correct.
You have Aaron Rodgers here. You have all of this talent. And you have guys' literal lives on the line, their jobs on the line. They got to be a playoff team. And I always try to remind Jets fans, it's not about the Super Bowl. You got to crawl before you walk. Before you run, before you sprint. So, like, it's about getting to the playoffs. And like you said, if they start off the right way, that will give them a head start on being one of those last teams.
And also, anytime you get into a tournament, if you get in the playoffs, like, anything can happen, especially when you got a defense as good as theirs. So that's the first step. It's not, like, a lot of people talk about Super Bowl. I'm not sure that they're there yet. But maybe, you know, it's okay. Like, sometimes, again, like, it takes some time to, you know, develop as a contender there. I mean, even look at a team like the Lions, who made it all the way to the NFC Championship last year. But, you know, that lack of experience, I mean, played a vital role in why they couldn't close out the 49ers when they were up big in that NFC Championship. So, yeah, you got to be able to, like you say, you got to be able to crawl before you walk and, you know, go through those experiences and the rigors of the regular season and the adversity. And I'm sure the Jets are definitely going to do that throughout the year.
Okay, two more things for you. So I was surprised to see Braylon Allen as the running back number two, but I wasn't really that surprised thinking about who he is and what he was. Not for nothing, I wanted Jerry Jones and them to draft him, but Jerry Jones traded away a fourth-round pick for Trey Lance, you know, just basically threw a pick away. What does he look like? I mean, he's a big body. He's very young. I think he's one of the youngest players in the league.
He is the youngest player in the league.
He's 20 years old.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I think he would have been starting for the Cowboys at the running back position. That's how good I think he's been. Like, he's not a fast guy, but a bruising running back that can also catch the ball out the backfield. Like, I was really surprised how good of a pass catcher he was. I mean, he did a little bit at that Wisconsin, but not a lot to think he would be able to do that consistently in the league. But, I mean, I saw one time, you know, at the practice, he caught a contested ball that looked like, you know, he looked like a real live, you know, wide receiver that does it on a daily basis. That's how good he is. So wow. I definitely think he's going to be a really good change of pace back with Breece Hall. Breece is obviously a bit faster and smaller, but, you know, Allen, especially as the weather turns in those colder months when you got to go up to Buffalo and, you know, you got to play some of those tough and physical teams, he's going to be a bit key to what they want to do.
A fourth round draft pick, number 134 overall. I'm looking forward to seeing number zero spell Breece Hall, but it is going to be the Breece Hall show. He should get all the touches that he can handle. Last but not least, man, Hassan Reddick. Are you hearing anything on him from his camp, from other reporters, from the Jets? I feel like this is like, you know, the one cloud hanging over the Jets when they say, oh, typical Jets, there's always something. You know, they trade for this guy, and he can be an absolute game wrecker. I think they got to get it done. They got to get him into camp. They got to just go ahead and pay him because you're all in on this Aaron Rodgers return. You're all in on potentially this last season with Rob Saleh and Nathaniel Hackett.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's a couple of things. One, like, I don't know if they're not going to give him a long-term deal. So that's pretty much off the table, especially with him not reporting. He missed all the spring, you know, the spring workouts, and then now he's missed, you know, the amount of time he did. It's 2 weeks of training camp, which he's being fined. You know, if you add in the bonus that he missed and everything like that, it's well over $1 million at this point.
Yeah.
So basically at this point, what I think they should do is just give him, you know, an incentive-laden, you know, deal, like, you know, give him some extra money signing bonus-wise and things of that nature too, simply because, you know, that way, you know, it makes us, like, he gets some kind of extra money, but also without a, you know, a long-term deal, because I don't know if we can necessarily give him a long-term deal, especially when you got to pay DJ Reed, potentially. You got to pay Michael Carter. And next year, not for nothing, Sauce, Garrett Wilson, Jermaine Johnson, yep. Breece Hall are all eligible for extensions. So what does it look like when you got a guy that did not even show up for the spring practices, did not show up at the beginning of training camp? He just all of a sudden comes in and just gets a new deal. Like Joe Douglas, that's something Joe Douglas has to think about too, the end game and all of this. So, yeah, I don't know if you can necessarily give him a long-term deal, but you can give him some an incentive-laden deal, you know, to sweeten the pot and then get him in the training camp. Eventually, I think he'll be there. It just may be, you know, towards week one, kind of like what happened to Chris Jones in that situation with the Chiefs.
Yeah, that's what Rob Saleh pointed to. And I know it's different with Chris Jones, who was drafted there, won Super Bowls there. But, man, I think they got to do whatever it takes to get Hassan Reddick into camp at least for the last week and have him ready to go week one. But maybe he's just like that. Maybe he's just built like that where he's going to be ready to go week one and has been working out and training. The only thing I heard about him was, you know, he's from South Jersey. He's from Camden.
Yeah.
He went to Temple, and they said that he showed up to his camp for little kids with a Jets shirt on. Obviously, he can't wear an Eagles shirt. But I think that's a good sign that, like, he plans on playing this year for the Jets. He's just not beat to potentially be hurt in camp or be fighting people pissed off in the heat and the sun in training camp.
Yeah, and also, and not for nothing, he's owed no more guaranteed money. So at this point, for him, it's like, I'm almost 30 years old. I have no more guaranteed money on my deal. let's say I go out and injure myself in training camp, the Jets can cut me and they don't owe me any money right. whatsoever. So I get it from his perspective too. But the thing is, the Jets did offer him, you know, a deal before the trade was made. According to sources, he decided to decline it. So at that point, the Jets were like, okay, we're still going to make the trade. I don't know if I would have done that, considering, like, I knew this was, it was a B.O.'s chance that this could happen, but they thought at least he would be able to, he would show up by now, and of course that has not happened.
You're the man, bro. Let me know when you need that Yankee hat, when you're pulling up to Yankee Stadium to root for the Bronx Bombers.
Oh, that's never going to happen. But I do go to Yankees game every now and then, but you will not catch me in a Yankee hat. I can guarantee you that.
Antoine Staley, ladies and gentlemen, covering the Jets for the New York Daily News. Thanks for joining us, bro.
All right, boss. So take it easy.
Annoy people on the quiet car and call the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Oh, wow. I guess the future is now. I think they like my style. KM to AM, WFN, 888-808-1019. Let's get right back into it. Abraham in Woodmere, you got it.
You know, Keith, I was thinking about the Yankees, and I noticed when you put Clay Holmes in the eighth inning, he seemed so much better than in the ninth. So why don't you use Clay Holmes as a reliever and put Clay Holmes and put Mark Leiter Jr. as the closer, and you'll have a better Clay Holmes than you would think you have.
Abraham, you're on to something. It seems like a softer landing spot for Clay Holmes. It seems like you'd rather put him in when you still have outs to give. Like, I'd rather not see him come in strictly for the ninth with the game on the line in a one-run game. I've seen enough of that. I think you're on to something. Why don't we bring him in the eighth, even if it's to get out of a jam, runners on, and maybe save Mark Leiter Jr., a guy with swing and miss stuff that seems to live for those moments, a guy who's dad and uncle played for the Yankees from Jersey, from the area. Like, I think you're on to something. Go on.
I don't know.
You don't want Clay Holmes as your closer, right? You don't want to just go with Brian Cashman, Aaron Boone, and Aaron Judge, who say he's our closer, he's our closer, he's our closer. It doesn't have to be that way.
Closer. I do not like Clay Holmes closing. Just, he's blown more saves than he has his own saves. I think it's like 23 blown saves and 22 saves.
In his career? I don't know about his career. I don't know. I know this year it's 8 blown saves and he leads the league. Even though he was an all-star, that's too much. That's too much for, August 6th.
This season, 23 blown saves and 22 saves. He can't be a closer.
Yeah, I don't think he's got 23 blown saves, though.
That's what I heard last time, maybe a little less.
I think the number that I last saw was 8. And I can, I can think back just to, he blew one in Philly. He blew one against the Red Sox. He blew one going into the All-Star break against the Orioles. He blew that one against the Royals in Kansas City.
Yeah, and a lot more.
Yeah, so you want to win, right? And you want to feel better about getting the last 3 outs. And with Clay Holmes, you've seen enough to say, that's not my closer. That's not the guy that I want in the ninth inning. I think we can do something else.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Anything else?
No.
You're the man. Thanks for the call, Abe. 888-808-1019. We are the world. We are the children. Morris is out in Brooklyn on the fan. What's up, Morris?
Good. How are you, Keith? Thanks for having me on.
I'm good. The rain, though, we just lost our DirecTV signal. I'm trying to watch this Mets game. I can't do that. But, other than that.
Oh, yeah. They knew it way before this time. Cancel the Wayne event. I think this kid is actually, maybe what he was trying to say was that in Holmes' career regular season, his win-loss is 23-21. Maybe that's what he's saying.
Okay, because as I pull up his stats, yes, career regular season, 23 wins, 21 losses. And, maybe if you're a kid, you think that taking the loss is a blown save. It's different than coming in for a save opportunity and blowing the save. But that's okay. We're all learning here. We don't all know everything. I know I don't.
Yeah. When I tuned into your show, it's funny. I heard someone talking and it sounded like you were interviewing someone, and I heard Gleyber Torres' voice. That's what I thought. And I was like, there's no way Keith is interviewing Gleyber Torres on the Fan. And then
I was talking to Oswaldo Cabrera.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they sound very similar. And then once I listened a little more, I heard it was saying he's a great guy.
They don't sound similar to me. I don't think I would be able to get a Gleyber Torres interview.
You've been talking about him like that. I don't think
anyone here at WFAN will get a Gleyber Torres interview. Not right now. No.
Well, it's too hard.
I mean, he deleted his Twitter. He was crying in the club. You know, I think he's just trying to lock in and focus on baseball, which would be best for his last 3 months here, 2 months here.
Yeah. One last thing. I just have a interesting suggestion that maybe this will, I don't know if it will ever happen in MLB. We vote, there's an all-star ballot, right, for the all-star game.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't they have a ballot to vote for the moves that the front office makes? Because the last couple of years, the fans have been...
Could you imagine the Yankees having a suggestion box? Yeah, go on.
No, because the fans have been many more times right than wrong than specifically the Yankees front office has been
many
times? In the last couple of years.
Yeah.
I think so.
I don't think they care. I don't think they care what we say. I don't think that they're looking for...
We spent so much money invested in this team, and we should have a say in what they. I don't mean to get into politics, but in free speech, it's like part of the Constitution. We should be able to have a free speech in which players we have.
That's WFAN, like you're doing right now. That's Yankees Twitter, which people do all day, every day. That's Yankee Stadium when I go there, and fans are literally booing Gleyber Torres. That's your free speech.
We should have traded him 5 years ago.
I mean, I was when they were trying to do that whole Josh Donaldson IKF trade, I was live on air. I'm like, please tell me Gleyber Torres is in a package somewhere for something. Here we are in 2024.
Do you know anyone? Is there one out of 1,000 people or even 10,000 or 100,000 Yankee fans that would have voted in this season to bring in J.D. Davis? Come on. What a joke.
No. That's why I couldn't take them serious. When they put him in the Subway Series, like every game of the Subway Series, I'm like, you clearly don't care about winning these games, so I can't care too much either.
Yeah, well, I guess, like you say, we could just hope
decade and a half. Yeah, hope week continues.
Hope decade. One more thing. Which team in the New York area do you, and I'll just hang up, which team in the New York area do you personally think will have a parade before any of the others in all four sports? Thank you very much, Keith.
Thanks for the call, Morris. I've been on record saying the Rangers for 3 years. I honestly thought the Rangers had a shot to get to the Cup this year. I don't think they're the team anymore. I think they had their little window. Tampa closed that window. The Devils closed that window. The Panthers closed that window. This year for the Rangers, I kept getting on air saying they're a wagon. They had winning streaks. The Devils couldn't do a damn thing with them. Watching those Devils-Rangers games were not fun. But, hey, stay tuned, Devils fans. We made some changes. We should have some get back. I know a lot of Knicks fans think because Jalen Brunson got his college buddies to join him and they were able to trade for injury-prone OG Anunoby, and Julius Randle is coming back. And now Jalen Brunson is the captain. The captain. I remember reading that his dad told him to watch Derek Jeter's documentary, The Captain, to see how New York fans, you know, receive their team and players and how they act. And congratulations to Jalen Brunson. I love a Jersey King of New York, a guy from Jersey coming to New York and doing his thing and taking over. I wish them the best. I don't think that they're winning the championship, though. It'll be more Knicks and eight chance outside of the Garden after the second round. Jets and Giants, no shot. I think the Jets can make the playoffs. I just think there are too many good teams in the AFC. I mean, I'd put money on Mahomes and all those receivers that he has now, and some of the additions that they made to that team, them going for three in a row versus the Jets actually getting there. Giants, stop it. Just, you know, they're rebuilding. We'll see if they can win 6-7 games. I think they're in the 6-8 win total range. And baseball, I mean, I think obviously the answer should be the New York Yankees, because the Yankees in this American League, if they get their act together, if they're able to pitch and able to hit and put together a consistent lineup and hustle and have some urgency and actually like take it dead ass serious every day, that this is it. This is it. 2-3 more months. You have Juan Soto and Aaron Judge. You have two MVP candidates in this lineup. Gerrit Cole is not getting any younger. Giancarlo Stanton is not getting any younger. Anthony Rizzo, DJ LeMahieu. Like, the answer should be the New York Yankees have the best chance to win the next championship in New York City.